Support for WPR comes from Stoughton Health, an independent community healthcare organization, treating acute mental health disorders in adults age 55 and over, accepting many insurance plans. StoughtonHealth.com.
Support for WPR comes from Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. With summer camps for pre-K through high school, offering skills in sports, music, and more. luther.edu/summer-camps.
Oh, this music evokes the antics of Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, Harold Lloyd, all the greats of silent film slapstick. But why do we laugh when someone slips on a banana peel? Well, Jerry Lewis once said, "I do not know that I have a carefully thought-out theory on exactly what makes people laugh, but the premise of all comedy is a man in trouble." That remark gave Alan Dale the title of his book, Comedy is a Man in Trouble. Dale told Ann Strangechamps how he came to love physical comedy.
My mother preferred English comedy, so she showed us Kind Hearts and Coronets, and she played Gilbert and Sullivan operettas for us. But my father was more interested in American slapstick comedy, so he showed us the Marx Brothers and Charlie Chaplin and Laurel and Hardy, and in fact, used to work out the Laurel and Hardy routines that we just watched. He would sort of play them out with me and my sister. That's how I got into it. It just, I don't know that I ever got into it. I feel more that I was born into it. Mm-hmm. Just a way of seeing the world, of being aware of a certain strand of experience that's happening to everybody every day. And my father's family was big laughers. My grandmother was a big laugher, and she used to tell, she would regale us with every little slapstick incident that had happened to her.
So when you went back as an adult and began looking seriously at slapstick comedy, you know, from its beginnings all the way into the current day, what did you think about what holds all slapstick together? I mean, what is slapstick? What makes a piece of comedy slapstick?
Well, I think the minimal qualification is that it is about our physical frustration with existence. I mean, existence is physical, and yet it's not very cooperative, the physical aspect of existence. And when a movie maker will say, portrays that in a way that makes the audience laugh, then you have slapstick. But the fact is it's rooted in something much more pervasive in the culture generally. And you can see, for instance, the Olympics, I think, represent a similar need to overcome the physical limitations. With the Olympics, you have this heroic version of overcoming the physical limitations of existence.
And with slapstick, you have the banana peel.
Exactly. It's more like you don't overcome the physical frustration. You give into it.
But didn't you ever wonder, I mean, why does that make us laugh? Why does it make us laugh to watch another human being in pain?
It's funny because it represents in an exaggerated form the sort of thing you survive every day. It happens to you all the time, and yet you survive it. And I think at the root, there's something comic about survival. It's highly improbable. The world is not that hospitable. It's very difficult to get what you want. It's very difficult to make your own body do what you want it to do, much less other people's bodies or inanimate objects.
Do you have some favorite slapstick movies or practitioners?
I think Buster Keaton. My favorite one, it's sort of a refinement on slapstick. It's Steamboat Bill Jr. from 1928. He and the girl are, it's a Romeo and Juliet story, basically, where the fathers are antagonistic boat owners. And so at night, Buster is sneaking out of bed across his father's boat to meet the girl, who will come to the end of her father's boat, and they'll sort of talk or whatever across the ends of the boats. And he's on an upper deck, and it's night, so he doesn't realize he's come to the end of it, and he falls 10 feet and lands on his ear. And he does it. I mean, you can see he does it. There isn't a stunt double. He didn't need one. So he lands on his ear, and then he stands up and shakes his head, and he's clearly dazed, but he wants to get to the girl. So he continues across the deck, and there's a piece of rope lying on the deck, which, of course, normally you would just step over, but instead what he does is he picks it up and stoops under it and then lays it back down on the deck. And then he stops and looks back at it as if somehow, somewhere in his mind, he knows that he didn't quite need to, and then just shakes his head and runs off to meet the girl. So that's my favorite.
Some of the best slapstick, it seems to me, is funny because it plays on recurring common nightmares. You know, showing up at a party without your pants on.
Or having them fall off at the party because they aren't sewn properly, which is a Harold Lloyd routine in The Freshman.
Or running, you know, your legs pumping furiously, but you're not getting anywhere.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And that's the thing about pain with respect to slapstick. In a sense, they had to suppress the awareness of pain that the accidents in real life would cause or the audience would feel uncomfortable. And where they go instead, maybe, is dread, so that it's sort of the social dimension of falling down. It's not only the falling down, but it's the fact that there are a bunch of people around you who saw it. And that's the thing. In the audience, you are able to laugh because it's not happening to you for once. But at the same time, you're identifying with the clown to whom it is happening and who is being laughed at by the people surrounding. So you're free from it in a sense, and yet you go right back into it by identifying with it. And it does create that nightmarish feeling of just the worst thing possible always happening.
I wonder whether that's why slapstick movies in particular, I think, you kind of don't want to watch them alone. You know, I think they're really best enjoyed with other people, you know, or an audience or something, because it's a very social kind of comedy in the sense that we're all laughing together at our human limitations and our failures.
Yes, I think that's really, really important in slapstick, that it's a group response to what is a common experience of us as physical beings. In fact, it even partakes of ritual, I think. For instance, I've always noticed that, actually watching movies with my grandmother, it doesn't matter if you know what's happening or if you know what is about to happen. The joke will be planted. You can see it coming. You know what's going to happen. And that doesn't kill the joke. My grandmother would start laughing as soon as the plant came on. The plant didn't keep her from laughing. The way people complain about mysteries if they can guess who did it. Well, in a slapstick comedy, people will start laughing as soon as they can guess what's going on. My grandmother used to say, "Oh, no," you know? And as a prelude to laughing, as hard as if she'd never seen the joke in her life. And I think it has that sort of ritual quality. I really think part of it is that you're sitting down. Very little can happen to you in the slapstick vein if you're sitting down. And then it's all transposed or projected, literally, I guess, onto the screen. And you and the group get to vent, basically, your relief that it's not happening to you.
Ellen Dale, the author of Comedy as a Man in Trouble, Slapstick in American Movies, talked with Anne Strange Champs.